It's HBR and Helping Hand. Weekly feature airing statewide on HBR1 stations on Friday as part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered, then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Every week, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, we are learning about a local nonprofit called the Keili'i Foundation, which means Keiki Education Living Independent Institute. According to their website, their mission is to help individuals with autism and other special needs to have a higher quality of life, and that includes transitioning out of the Department of Education to adulthood. And as regular listeners to Helping Hand know, transitions like this are very important for people with disabilities and people with intellectual disabilities. They also teach independent living. They've got a fundraising event coming up October 5th, 5 to 9. At the Hope for Healing Arts Gala, the Hawaii Okinawa Center Legacy Ballroom, Waipio. We're going to hear about the organization, ways to support them. We are blessed today to have their president and founder, Melody Haole.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
So before we get deeper into the services and mission, give us a little summary of what the organization does and how you're involved.
We do a lot of seminars and events. Our seminar is called Empowering Parents Seminar, mm-hmm. To help them, educate them in their rights, what they can do, services that is out there that is available. We do socials, and that social is called Building Family Seminars, because our families, a lot of times we're broken. Because we have to deal with so much. So I want to build families, because that is our children's foundation, is the families. A lot of the families are divorced. We have 90% divorce rate.
That's right. And that's a very good point that actually doesn't come up a whole lot. What you're talking about, and you'll correct me if I have this wrong, is in a lot of cases where parents end up with a child with special needs, and particularly in particular an intellectual disability, they end up getting divorced.
Yes. The stress level is very high.
Right. And a lot of people don't know that. And that's an important aspect with why families, mothers or fathers that end up caring, I guess it's usually moms.
Yes.
That end up caring for a child with intellectual disabilities. There is an incredible burden on them. And not only are they caring for a child that has really special needs and extraordinary challenges, but they're facing that additional challenge of having a bond that they had made with another person come apart. At a time when you really need it to stay together.
Yes.
So I get your idea with the empowering of families. And obviously, in this case, as a lot of these cases, there's an interesting story as to what drove you to be part of the effort. Explain.
Yes. When my son was aging out of the DOE, he was very severe, violent. He had a injury, a brain injury, and from a child that could play basketball, jiu-jitsu, higher functioning. He still had intellectual disabilities, but he was higher functioning. He ended up in a catatonic stage and became very violent, severe autism at 16 years old.
16.
Yeah, so our life really changed. So when we were, that's already transition age. And at that time, no one guided us. No one knew what to do.
Right.
And the three choices that they gave me is...
And who is this they?
DOE.
Okay.
So the Department of Education, DOH, Department of Health.
Okay.
CAMHD, Child and Adolescent Mental Health Division.
Okay.
DDD, Developmental Disabilities Division.
Okay.
We all had a meeting, and they said I have three choices. I can give my son up to the state once he ages out of the DOE. And at that time, the age was 18. Or put him in a mental institution or quit work and handle him myself.
As a full-time caregiver.
Yes. So I decided to quit work and start a nonprofit because that's no choice for parents to have.
Right. So basically, faced with really unacceptable options, you decided to try to learn more about ways to create support both for you and then for other people who are in a similar situation.
Yes. because when we were at the meeting, they threw out a lot of big organizations' names that we could go and visit and see if they would have my son be there during the adult daycare, and then I would be able to work. And I went to every one of their places, and they denied me. They said, because my son has behaviors, any kind of behaviors, I would be called. I said, okay, then I'll be called every single day, every minute. So what's the use? I mean, why have these organizations there when they only help certain types of kids?
And let's explain. So for people who aren't as familiar, explain what, you know, what you're facing, what autism is, and what some of the other conditions are that you guys are focused on as an organization.
Well, autism is very wide. Yeah, you have the higher functioning that can go to college, that can work, that can get married. They need special care too. They need help in socializing. They still need assistance in guiding them and reminding them of certain things. But they're higher functioning. They can be independent with guidance. And then you have the ones that's in between that has more severe developmental delays and need more support. So they can go to an adult care facility and have the ratio of 5-1. So you can have 5 people to 1 person that can watch them, can help them. But I felt like that was like, I don't want to be mean or anything, but I felt like I was in a cattle, you know, just throw the kids in there. Just leave them there and walk away. And you see people drooling and just not being, their mind is not being moved and motivated and stimulated, you know. So you got those kids that can do and have a hard time. And then you have my son. My son is very severe.
So that's why they call it a spectrum, the autism spectrum. So what you're really saying is that you have people on the higher functioning end of the spectrum, where it's a more subtle disability, I guess is the way of saying it.
Yes.
And then the opposite, and sort of like a dial.
Yes.
Or a spectrum.
So my son is severe. So he's a 2-on-1.
Okay.
And he's very, very violent. So
explain the ways that the organization offers support for people with autism and these special needs and their loved ones. Talk about what you guys are doing.
Well, my organization is 6 years old, so we're still brand new. But when I first started, we started with events because I knew marriages needed to be builded and because I knew my marriage was having a hard time accepting this all of a sudden change.
Right.
So I felt like, well, if my marriage is going through this, then someone else's marriage is going through the same thing. So I wanted to do seminars on building families and having events so you can see the parents smiling with the child and enjoying, because our lives is not always smiles.
Right.
Sometimes your life is like your house is your prison because you cannot leave. So we started off with building family seminars and having events, and then we moved on to empowering parents, because I noticed that there was a lot of organizations out there that was giving information but not really sitting down with that parent or the group and really asking them, what is your needs?
So focusing on the caregivers and ways to support the people who are supporting the people with autism.
Yes.
Because they get a lot of pressure, like anyone who's a heavy caregiver. If you're caring for someone with Alzheimer's, you get the heavy, heavy, heavy stress. So I get it. So it's you're focused on empowering the caregivers. It looks like some of the programs, like multidisciplinary facility.
That's what we want to build. That is in our future. So what I do is I collaborate. So in the years, I've been collaborating with therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, one that does metronome therapy. So I have my son try it out first to see if it really works, and then add them to our list. And then I guide parents to the doctors, because you don't have someone guiding you. A lot of times people would say, oh, yeah, these people places is available, and leave you as that. But instead of just guiding you and saying, no, you know, write down this number, do this, and then when the parent does do the advocating for their child and trying to get the services, and I would say mention my name. Once they mention my name or the Kaylee E. Foundation, a lot of times the doors open up even faster.
So what are some of the other services you want to mention that you guys are doing before we talk about this event?
Okay, so we just started doing the transitional program. So we raised $10,000, yay, you know, just recently. But what that is transitioning from the DOE into adulthood. And the DOE really legally supposed to be doing it by 14 years old. And they're only giving pamphlets to parents, not really taking them on the mainland. They have this program that they take them out of the school half day, put them in another center, and then they learn independent living skills, or they go out in the community. So you have people washing dishes and cleaning the bed, doing their bed, you know, just life skills. Mm-hmm. And because, like my child, academics really didn't matter to him because it wasn't going to teach him for life skills.
Right.
And that's what they tend to forget. So we're starting that, the transitional program, hopefully by the end of this year.
And where do the funds go?
The funds, what we're raising right now, mm-hmm, can only go to building and the rent and to start up. And then what I'm doing is I'm collaborating with different organizations. So I'm collaborating with Goodwill. They have a funding for kids that don't have DD services but want to be able to do the transition, so they will fund it. And they got their funding from the city and county. And then I work with Kahumana Learning Center. So they have facilities, they have people that already, they have a contract already for this the state. So I figured, okay, if I collaborate with different people, we can get this working faster. So I wouldn't need as much money because we're getting it from the city and county, we're getting it from the state, you know, and that pays for the workers to come in.
That pays for what, the healthcare aides that are helping the child?
Yes.
The children?
Yes.
And you guys have a fundraising event coming up October 5th,
yes,
which I mentioned when introducing you. Explain how this works and how people can support it.
It's a casino night, so we wanted to have fun because last year we had quite a bit of families came and they enjoyed the casino night. So I figured, okay, let's do something fun besides just something that you just sit around and mingle, because our families cannot really mingle. You can mingle by interacting with each other, so that would be the casino night. So if they want to purchase a ticket, right now we have a special. It's called Early Bird Special. It's $50, and you get dinner, 40 chips, and you have two cocktails. So you can go on to the Kaylee E. Foundation website and purchase your ticket through Eventbrite. That's on the Kaylee E. website.
And you guys are a nonprofit?
We're a nonprofit. We have our 501c3.
How else do you guys get funding besides fundraisers like this?
Grants. We just purchased a vehicle for our kids that cannot catch the handy van.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes to the Kahumana Day program, mm, and they go out into the community. So we purchased a small van, minivan. But like how I said, I'm only 6 years old, so I'm just learning all of these things.
So the grants come, and then or is there city and county federal support of any kind?
At this time, no. The other organizations, they do have the city and county and the state that support them. And that's why I collaborate with them, because what I found out is if my foundation, apply for the grants, then I'm limited in my advocacy. I cannot advocate that much. So
what are other
ways?
What are other ways that people listening can volunteer, contribute, or help out?
You can come to, they can give me a call. I don't know if I can say my phone number.
I'll be giving all of that information.
Yeah, so they can give me a call and then I can figure out. I mean, if they want to volunteer and come to the ADH program and help with music therapy or the garden that we're going to start, or even getting pallets and or materials for us to start our farm, you know, that would be very helpful. You know, any donation is a donation. It doesn't have to be only money. It can be even weight equipment so we can have the kids exercise, you know. But if they want to volunteer for the event, the casino night, they can just give me a call and we can figure out where they can be placed.
So you're welcoming volunteers in a lot of different ways.
Yes.
To support you. You have a lot of ways that people can help you guys out with the event and these other needs. KeliiFoundation.org is where you can find them online. That's KeliiFoundation.org. You can look for an email form on their contact page there to send an email.
Yes.
808-927-5909.
Yes.
To give them a call. You can look for them on both Facebook and Twitter. You can get the full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information waiting for you, and all of our other Helping Hand guests at HawaiiPublicRadio.org, where we keep Helping Hand online.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Sorry, but I completely forgot. We have a bill that's live right now. It's called SB 242. We need everyone's support once it goes back in January. So we have Senator Gabbard, Senator Favela, that is supporting the bill, and some other representatives that's supporting the bill. And this bill is for the gap kids. So like how I said about the spectrum, our children, the higher spectrum, they don't get services. So a lot of, I met a few already that is homeless because their parents did not get them the services that they should have gotten, or they probably got denied and they passed away. And now these young adults are homeless.
So what does the bill do, though, specifically?
It's supposed to help with waiver program. So you would be able to get community-based services. So a worker would be able to come and help you if you're having a hard time at school in socializing or interacting with anyone. You would have like a buddy, you know, and they would be able to help you and guide you.
So another way people can support you is to learn about this bill and to help you guys in advocating for it.
Yes. And the other gap kids are the ones that is just like mine. If you have severe autism, and a lot of times you have mild mental illness in that because it's a brain disorder, neurodevelopmental disorder, you cannot get DD services because you have mental illness. So they send you off to get services through CAMHD, Child and Adolescent Mental Health Division. And because our children's IQ scores is below 70, they will not take us. So your child has nothing. Well, I know a lot of parents that's been calling me and having problems getting services, and their child is being shipped off to the mainland now. Because my son was in Kikela two times, Queens Hospital, two times prior, because we had no services.
And does this bill change that, though?
Yes. They should be able to get waiver, the waiver program. They would be able, because right now, the way it's written, you cannot get the services if you have any kind of mental illness or any kind of behavior. So if they change the way it's written, or we can add on a different waiver. Our state only has one waiver. Other states have between 10 to 15 waiver programs. So our state needs to start mimicking the other states and trying to get waiver program to help these kids. So this bill includes fetal alcohol syndrome too, because they are left behind too. Yeah, so the bill is for the gap kids that will help.
Well, that's another way to support the organization.
Yes.
It is president and founder of the Keili'i Foundation, which is Keiki Education Living Independent Institute, Melody Haole.
Yes.
And our guest today on Helping Hand and trying to help out people, children with autism and other special needs, and aiming her efforts at the families and caregivers who are having the primary responsibility of looking out for these very vulnerable members of our community. Well, on behalf of all the folks that you're able to help out and try to provide a little bit more hope in their family and to help these people to have a higher quality of life, I really appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate that you took the time to come down here and be on Helping Hand with us. Thank you.
Thank you.